I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. I didn't grow up in a very Christian household. We went to church here and there, but I didn't really know what Advent was until my 20s. Some of you here may also not know what Advent is, and that's okay, but the only thing I knew about Advent when I started going to church more seriously was these arguments that kept happening about whether or not we should have blue or purple decorations in the sanctuary. If you've been around Anglican land long enough, you know that's a very controversial issue. Our church has landed on blue, which I love. But when I was thinking about Advent and my experience with it, and Advent is the season of 4 weeks before Christmas, I realized I did have one encounter in Advent back when I was in middle school. And it happened when one of my only Christian friend, she invited me to the Friday night youth group at her local Baptist church. And like any good youth group, we ran around like feral children, causing messes, breaking things, eating way too many snacks, having a wonderful time. And then at the end, one of the youth leaders brought out this big cake, and it had candles on it, and everyone started singing Happy Birthday. And I was looking around trying to figure out whose birthday it was because no one was really focusing on one particular person. And then finally at the end, when we all blew out the candles, I leaned over to my friend and I asked, whose birthday is it? And she said, Jesus. And I said, he isn't even here. And I remember that moment because everyone laughed at me and it was very embarrassing, and that is a true story. But the youth leader looked a little bit aghast and then she said, well, in Advent, we're preparing for the birth of Jesus, for Jesus' birthday party. And now, all these years later, I might have a more sophisticated response to what she said, but in essence, she's right, right? In essence, in Advent, we are putting ourselves into the story, and we are practicing waiting on the Lord, practicing waiting for Jesus' birth, and anticipating the greatest joy. It is not a memorial service. It is not a funeral, it is a birthday party. But the longing of our hearts is not for cake and presents, but to rejoice. In our short reading from the letter of Paul to the Philippians today, the reading that Rudy read for us, we hear a simple and clear message ringing out. If it's the one thing you take away from the sermon, I hope you remember this message: God brings us joy. God wants us to be happy. Joy is found in God. Our hearts long to rejoice, and that joy is found in living our fullest human lives, the messy and the good, the clean and the sad. Joy is found as we live into what God wants for us. In his letter, Paul writes, "Rejoice in the Lord always. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything. Rejoice in the Lord always. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything." It's a lovely sentiment, but it's also the kind of thing you might see embroidered on some old-fashioned Christian art or on the front of a greeting card, and you think, oh, okay, that's easy to say, but, you know, easier said than done. But today I want to dive a little bit deeper into that passage from Paul, because that part of the text has so much more meaning than you might think. And also because today, which is the third Sunday of Advent, is called Gaudete Sunday. And Gaudete in Latin means rejoice or joy. This is the Sunday where we declare just how excited we are that God is near. This is the Sunday we get to remember that God wants us to be happy. This is a birthday party, not a memorial. And that is why on this Sunday we light the pink candle, because it's a less somber tone. It's a rejoicing tone. And Geraldine is wearing pink. Eileen, are you wearing pink on purpose? Let's say yes. You planned that. Anyone else? Okay, so I just want to give some context around this passage from Philippians. Paul is writing this letter to the early church in Philippi from a prison cell, probably in Rome, and he had pretty bleak prospects. He's been arrested for preaching the gospel, and he is not going to take back his message. And he is facing frightening consequences. And through history, we've seen what prison cells look like in this region at that time. And basically, they were just dark holes in the ground. So from a dark hole in the ground, probably facing death, Paul writes to the early church, "Rejoice, the Lord is near." And then the early church at Philippi, who is hearing this message, is rife with conflict between their leaders. They had enemies banging down their door, and now their beloved Paul has been arrested. It's a difficult time for the followers of Jesus in Philippi, and a difficult time for Paul. Neither party had much to rejoice about at first glance. So this piece of text is so much more bonkers than it would first seem, because you understand that Paul is writing, "Rejoice to the Lord," from a dark hole in the ground. This piece of text, this Sunday that we celebrate, is part of a much wider, more dramatic, sometimes scary, and of course, joyful story. And it's our story. It's our story, right? It is my story. It is your story. I struggle sometimes to see myself in the text. Like, how does it relate to me? But in the Advent season of the church in particular, we practice putting ourselves in the story. We step back, and we stretch across time to remember what it was like to be in the depths of the waiting, in the depths of the hardship and the gloom, and we lament a world that had no light, and we also tremble with anticipation that God is coming into the world, that Jesus will be born and his incarnation will be a beacon to all of us. But more on that on Christmas Eve. For now, in Advent, we are dwelling in the story that spans generations. And we are narrating ourselves into the story each time that we light a candle on the Advent wreath. And each time we pray for the coming of God into our lives, we remember that the Philippian story is the same as ours, and it will be the same as generations and generations of Christians to come. Advent is funny that way. It's a time of deep storytelling and deep narrative. We already know the good news. Spoiler alert, Jesus was born, right? But during this season, we practice remembering what it was like to wait in the cold and the loneliness for God. And I think that Paul, writing from that dark prison cell in the ground, gives off very Advent vibes. In understanding the context of Paul's story, it is even more unbelievable that he would write that, given his circumstances. But that's exactly what this story is. Our story, my story, and your story. It's exactly what makes God's love so remarkable, because turning to God brings joy. Even when everything else has fallen to pieces, loving God and doing as God wants for us is the greatest reason to rejoice in the entire world. That's the good news. God wants us to be happy. That's what we celebrate this Gaudete Sunday in Advent on Pink Sunday. God wants us to be happy. Now, what does that mean for us in practice? Despite the risk of being just another preacher talking about the commercialism of Christmas, I will say that Advent gives us a chance to remember that overwhelming joy, the fullness of our humanity, it cannot be bought at a mall. Our joy comes from a deep connection with our Creator. Our joy comes from a deep connection with our Creator, and from the deep knowledge that we are beloved and forgiven. Paul's writing ties in beautifully with the gospel we heard today when we hear John the Baptist call to prepare for the Lord, and he says, "If you have two coats, give away one, and share food with all who need it." That message, paired with Paul's message of rejoicing, is what I understand the true meaning of Advent to be. We give generously, we give lavishly, and we think about others besides ourselves, and as Christians, we reflect on the joy that exists in this world, the joy in a God who dwells among us. Again, easier said than done, right? I'll admit, sometimes I get grumpy. I can have trouble thinking about the joy. Sometimes all I can think about is just getting through this week and then getting through the week after that. And you just have to keep getting through weeks until, you know, the year is over. But I don't think I'm alone in that grumpiness. I don't think I'm alone in the hardships of the world. And I know I'm not alone, because many of the early audiences of Jesus felt exactly the same way. They did not feel ready for what he was speaking about, and they tried very hard to shut him up. Luckily for us, it did not matter how people were afraid of the message or how they were not ready for the message. It does not matter that there are days that I struggle to turn towards God. It does not matter if you have days when you struggle to turn towards God. God has loved our world so much they broke into it. The rejoicing will endure. Creation itself will sing with praise. This is the good news of Advent. It reminds me of a line from a poem by the Pulitzer Prize-winning poet Gwendolyn Brooks. She wrote, "Even if you are not ready for the day, it cannot always be night." So even if we aren't ready, we will rejoice. Even if we don't know how, joy is coming. And even if we have no idea whose cake it is and why we are eating it and why we are singing happy birthday, we will still party. My friends, I invite you to share this joy. Rejoice in God always, just as God rejoices in each and every one of you. And find your place in this story that spans from a stable in Galilee to a jail cell in Rome, to ancient Europe, and to you and I sitting here today. Amen.